Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Wrestle Chat Radio's special Royal Rumble review show. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 90 minutes, we will be discussing all of the events that happened at last night's New Japan Royal Rumble. Oh, no, wait a minute. WWE Royal Rumble. I forgot that this was a WWE show. Listen, folks, this is a mixed bag. Now, I've read a lot of reviews online, and everyone seemed quite happy with the show. Everyone said, oh, you know, we got a lot of surprises, and we had Rey Mysterio show up, and all the legends from the women's division showed up, and there was some nice surprises. And I'm not going to argue that point. I'm not even going to argue. I know a lot of people said, what did you think of the Women's Royal Rumble airing first? Or airing last. I'm not even going to argue that point, because knowing what we know now, quite obviously they had to put it in that position. But before we even get into the match-by-match analysis, I'm going to jump the gun here a little bit and bring back a segment we haven't done in a while.
Marcus Kane's Don't Get Me Started.
Look, folks, the Women's Royal Rumble had some major issues. And I know, listen, the historic, monumentous, glass-ceiling-shattering impact that Stephanie McMahon kept shoving down our throat all night, I get it. The issue here. The real issue is what I've been saying for a very long time, and that is the women's revolution, the women's evolution, whatever the hell the WWE wants to call it this week, is not true. Now you're going to say, what are you talking about? Had the first ever women's Hell in a Cell, and now they have the Royal Rumble. Looks like they're going to have an Elimination Chamber. Certainly they're doing more for women's wrestling than ever before. So let me plead my case to you. Last night, this Royal Rumble match, the Women's Royal Rumble match, was supposed to be a tribute to all of the hardworking women who have come up through the ranks of the WWE and made it possible for the new crop of women to have a much better position on the card, much better response by the fans. In other words, it was to pay homage to all of those women who sacrificed so much and really didn't get compensated very well, or didn't really get the fame that the men got now that things have changed. And listen, that's a very, very honorable thing. And I'm glad that the women are getting their just due, and I'm glad that the women are main eventing pay-per-views and main eventing house shows and things, and I'm glad they're getting the fame and the recognition that their male counterparts got. But don't for one minute be fooled into believing the WWE gives one single damn about it. And here's why I know. Let's go through them one at a time. One, Asuka wins. Now, tell me, because maybe I've missed it, what is it exactly that Asuka, who's been in on the main roster for 2.5-3 months, what is it that she did that would link her in the eyes of WWE fans to Mae Young, the Fabulous Moolah, all these people who came up through the ranks, and she did nothing. Okay, she was NXT champion forever. Big deal. Big deal. There were women in that match that have busted their ass in the ranks of NXT, that have come up from nothing, idolizing the women that came before them. They should have won that match. The very fact that Asuka did, let's not be fooled here, to won this match because the WWE wants to sell more WWE Network and more merchandise and everything else to the Asian market. Don't believe me? Who won the Men's Royal Rumble too? This was planned the same way Jinder Mahal's title reign was planned. It had nothing to do with paying homage to the women who came before them, or Asuka wouldn't have won. But you want further proof, you say. Okay. Ronda Rousey shows up, makes absolutely not one appearance beforehand, doesn't step her foot into a wrestling ring in any public way, and overshadows the whole goddamn thing. For what reason? Because she's going to challenge the champion? No. Because she's going to attack Asuka? No. Because her and Stephanie are going to get into a huge brawl and it's going to end the pay-per-view? No. To point at a WrestleMania sign mysteriously and do absolutely fuck all. So think about that for a minute. So Asuka and Ronda Rousey, what have they done? Collectively, what have they done for the WWE women's division to get to this point? And remember, they can say all they want, oh no, it's all the women. No, it's not. If it doesn't happen in WWE, they don't even acknowledge it. So spare me that we're doing this for all women thing. Because if you're doing it for all women, here's a newsflash. There's been plenty of women's federations that have shattered the glass ceiling long before you. You don't have a women's a women's show. There are plenty of all women federations, and not all of them are TNA, crapola. So it's not for all women. What you're saying is the WWE is being so politically correct, and we're so modern and with it that we're giving the WWE women this golden, glorious opportunity, and we couldn't have done it without all those women who came before them in the ranks that really didn't get that. Okay, well, what did Asuka have to do with that? How about nothing? What did Ronda Rousey have to do with that? Big deal. She's a wrestling fan. So what? She's done nothing to contribute to anything. And she gets to come out and point to a WrestleMania sign. Why? Because she's won what? She gets to go to WrestleMania while some of the other girls may not. Why? Because she's what? You do the math. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. So why did the Women's Royal Rumble end this way? Because A, the WWE wants to market themselves into the Japanese audience. B, they wanted to get Ronda Rousey out there. That's why this was last, by the way. It wasn't last because, oh, it's going to be so historical. We're going to put this on as the main event just to show you the women can main event it. No. It was put on so Ronda Rousey could get her ass there and they could have that moment at the end. Had nothing to do with, oh, the historical moment of the women's battle royal. Please. Because that's who they wanted to fight someone at WrestleMania, who, by the way, she didn't even choose because Ronda Rousey. And what's the headlines talking about today? Are the headlines talking about WWE shatters the glass ceiling and has a women's Royal Rumble? No. Are they talking about Japanese superstar wins Royal Rumble, very first women's Royal Rumble? No. What are they talking about? Ronda Rousey points at a WrestleMania sign. So there's a great way. You had this historical moment and you said, let's let Ronda Rousey overshadow the whole goddamn thing. It's not that I don't like Ronda Rousey. It's not that I'm not excited to see Ronda Rousey. It's not that I don't think she'll make a good WWE superstar. Do not get me wrong. This was not the time or place. Not if you were serious about making this a historical moment for the real women who've really earned it. Because guess what? Ronda Rousey ain't one. I don't care what she's done in UFC. That's irrelevant. absolutely irrelevant. So this is where we stand, folks. This women's revolution, evolution thing. Here's the thing. Ronda Rousey gets to come out and point at a WrestleMania sign. Paige doesn't even get to come out. They didn't even say, Paige, why don't you be a guest announcer too? Because you know what? Your contributions helped here. You brought a lot to the table to help this women's division along. And I know you can't be in it, but man, at least come on out and hang out on the announce table and, you know, be a part of it. No, no, we can't have that because Stephanie needs to do that. But we can have Ronda Rousey trot her ass out and point at a WrestleMania sign. And then you're going to sit here this morning and you're going to sit here and tell me the WWE did this for the women. They are so, you know, modern, and they're breaking the glass ceiling by doing this, and it's all for the women. No, it's not. My God. If it was really for the women, you know who would have won this match? Bayley or Sasha or Natalia or any of the other women who have really, really, really contributed to the WWE's growing popularity of their women's division and how they are seen as legitimate superstars by the fans and not just a sideshow like they used to be. Asuka had nothing to do with that because 95% of her contributions were in NXT and 75% of the fans of WWE don't even watch it. And Asuka's not even over, by the way. She's not even over. Not here. So that's what you're going to get. Now, we'll be discussing what Ronda Rousey pointing to the WrestleMania sign means later. I don't want to do that here. My point in this opening statement is to address the situation involving this supposed historic moment by the WWE and how wonderful and great and marvelous and all-knowing and inclusive their company is to do this for the women when they're full of shit. You're full of shit. Oh, we put it on last because the women deserve the main event. No, you put it on last so Ronda Rousey could get the last moment in there, who has contributed nothing to the WWE so far. Oh, we started this whole thing so that the women would have a really good match and we'd get to see all the legends come back. No, you treated the legends basically like garbage. When the last three people in the ring are the Bellas and Asuka, then we know where the hell this is heading. The two Bellas are in there because of who they're married to. I'm not afraid to say it. I know everybody's afraid to say it. For God's sake. I listen to all kinds of blog shows and they're all like, well, you know, they've contributed a whole lot. Yeah, they contributed a whole lot. They married John Cena and Daniel Bryan. Aside from that, they're good-looking girls who are average at best wrestlers. So don't give me the shit about they're the ones who were supposed to be there at the end because they were really the mainstays of the women's division. Give me a break. By the way, wasn't that a really climactic ending? Asuka's in there with both Bella twins. And the Bella twins do what exactly again? One eliminates the other because, of course, they're too stupid to realize, let's just get Asuka out and then we will fight amongst ourselves. So the message that was sent by the WWE's booking team is, here's the two Bella girls who are dumb as a box of rocks. They'll eliminate one another before they get out the main person who everyone thinks is going to win. Which, again, the message is the Bella twins are dumb as a box of rocks. But, oh no, we're very inclusive to the women. We treat the women well. No, you treat the women like retarded women. I don't know what to do. Let me eliminate my sister while I got the chance. Then I'll just have to take on Asuka by myself. Even though she's the top person here and I haven't stepped my ass into a wrestling ring in a year. Does that make sense? So two women who haven't stepped their ass into a wrestling ring for a year and Asuka, who just barely shows up, are the last three people in a Women's Royal Rumble that's supposed to honor the women who came before them and all the hard work and dedication they put into it. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Now, I'm not saying that some parts of the women's match wasn't great. It was great to see Trish Stratus and Mickie James square off. It was great to see Lita come back. There were great parts in the women's battle royal. I'm not saying there wasn't. What I am saying is the WWE is lying to you. WWE is not doing this for the women. If they did, it would be evident in the way they booked it. It would be evident in the last couple of people left in the ring. It would be evident what they did with certain people. Instead, this was the Ronda Rousey, Bellas, and Asuka show. And everybody else was just there for fluff. Oh, yeah, they let Sasha Banks stay in there forever. But so what? It doesn't mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. And aside from possibly Sasha and Bayley getting into it, which I don't know why they would, because Bayley has to be smart enough to realize it's every woman for herself, so big deal. Her friend eliminated her, big deal. I don't see why Bayley would be upset with that. So where's the storylines? Where's all the, oh, this girl's now going to feud with this girl because this happened? There isn't any. You didn't bother to set up any girls' storylines, which you could have. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't this supposed to be about the women and how going forward everything is going to be great? Where's the storylines? Where's all the storylines you could have set up between some of these girls? You didn't bother. And the reason you didn't bother is because it's not really about the women's evolution or revolution. It was about getting Ronda Rousey out there. So that's my thoughts on it, Mike. What do you think?
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I'll say this. It was a decent pay-per-view, but, and I guess we can get into this later, missed chances. There was a missed chance with Ronda Rousey. In particular, instead of going to Charlotte, instead of going to Asuka, what she should have done is gone to Charlotte, pointed to the sign, and held up the four fingers. That's what she should have done.
Well, the reason she didn't do it, and we'll get into that later, is from what I hear, Ronda Rousey is not facing any, they're not doing the Four Horsewomen versus the Rousey's crew. They're not doing any of that. Ronda Rousey apparently is going to be in a tag team match involving Triple H and Stephanie, and probably is going to be The Rock and Ronda Rousey. So why she interrupts the women's Royal Rumble right in the end, where I don't know. And here's another thing. Ronda Rousey better get serious, because I'm already not liking it. Comes out with a big smile on her face. Okay, she got a huge pop. She probably was very excited about that. I get it. So the initially smiling and whatever. But then she doesn't even say a word. She just sits there like an idiot and just points to a sign. WrestleMania. Big smile on her face like she's a fan who jumped the guardrail. Didn't stare down anybody viciously. Didn't look, you know, mean or, you know, trying to shake hands. I don't know. It just rubbed me completely the wrong way, Sabretooth, and I think it absolutely 100% overshadowed the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, man. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth, man. So, I mean, it seems like at the end of the day, they can talk about how breaking the glass ceiling with the women and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, seeing as how Oscar won, at the end of the day, what matters is what's best for business, I guess. Like you said, that was done just for that, just the Japanese market, you know, that's why that was done.
Yep.
I mean, this should have been a passing of the torch moment. I mean, it could have been like Bayley and maybe like Trish Stratus should have been the last two in that ring, and it could have been like a truly passing of the torch from like one generation to the next, but we didn't get that. And I'm just speechless, man. I'm really pissed off, man. I mean,
I am too. You know, I got to tell you, I had a guy write me. A regular guy in the chat room write me and say, you know, I think it was a great Royal Rumble, you know, and I said, I'm furious right now. I'm furious. And he wasn't really sure why I'm furious. Well, the reason I'm furious is because you're being lied to. And I don't like being lied to. I don't, you know what it's almost like? It's almost like saying we're doing this for the good of a cause, to bring awareness to a certain cause. And then you find out, oh, these guys are getting paid, you know, 90 cents on the dollar to do this. And you're like, that they're not doing it to bring awareness to a cause. They're doing it to line their own pockets. Well, that's what's happening here. While everyone is saying, oh, boy, the women, yes, it's an historic moment. Tears in my eyes. This is wonderful. God bless Stephanie McMahon. God bless the WWE. The WWE couldn't care. They wouldn't piss on them if they were on fire. If this is about the women's revolution and the women's evolution, where was Paige? You didn't have 30 seconds to have her walk out to ringside. You couldn't put her on commentary. You couldn't at least have her escort one of the girls out. You had Aiden English escort Rusev out. But you couldn't have Paige escort one of her clique members out, could you? Because that would be asking too much. But Ronda Rousey gets 3 minutes, 5 minutes at the end to smile and point. Smile and point. That's all. It was embarrassing. That, let me get that out of the way first. It was embarrassing. When she first did it, I'm like, okay, that's cool. But then she kept doing it. And I'm like, this is embarrassing. Because you know what happened. They're backstage saying, all you got to do, Ronda, is walk out, smile and point. Offer to shake hands, smile and point. Just keep pointing to that WrestleMania sign. And that's what she was doing. And the whole match, I'm saying to myself, Paige will come down here. Paige will have a hand in eliminating someone, even if it's illegally, because Paige has earned it. She's earned it. No. Asuka's earned it by doing exactly what, folks? By showing up at NXT, being a... Let's get this straight. Asuka's not the top star in female wrestling in Japan. But the WWE decided, no, she's going to be here. So fine, she shows up. I'm not saying she's not good in the ring. I don't think she's great, but she's good. They let her beat a whole bunch of NXT people and keep the title for life because wrestling, of course, it doesn't matter. I could keep the title for life if they say that's the way it's going to go. Doesn't mean I'm any good. Then she comes over to the WWE. Does she get over? No. Are the crowd going crazy for her? No. But she's going to win. Because we want that WrestleMania match. Why do you want that WrestleMania match? Is it because you really think she's the best representative of the women? Hell no. Because you want the Japanese money. You want the Japanese fans. You want the international flair. You handed them the whole goddamn Royal Rumble. It's a good thing there weren't a Japanese tag team somewhere in the building. Or they'd have won that too. Unbelievable. And on top of it, highly, highly predictable. As soon as it got down, basically, Asuka comes in late, by the way. She's such a gifted athlete, of course, that they don't want her in the Rumble for more than, you know, 10, 15 minutes, because Lord knows that, you know, Sasha went in one and stayed till the end. But not Asuka. It's too important for that. So she'll just waltz in with 4 minutes to go, and that'll be good enough. I think it's a tragedy. And again, I think you're being lied to. I don't think this is anything to do with the women's revolution. If it did, Paige would have been there. Simple as that. Did they give us a few nice moments? You bet they did. Again, Mickie James squaring off against Trish Stratus was cool. Beth Phoenix and Nia Jax, that was cool. Even though, once again, we have proven Nia Jax's weakness, and Nia Jax's weakness is she's just not, God bless her, she seems like a nice person. She's just not that good. Beth Phoenix tried to pick her up twice, and Beth Phoenix is plenty strong. Nia Jax can't jump. She couldn't jump over a postage stamp. So she's pretty much got a deadlifter, and that's not happening. Brock Lesnar couldn't do it. So Beth Phoenix is made to look not so great because, oh, well, this strong glamazon, she can't pick her up because why? I'll tell you why. Because Nia Jax can't jump. doesn't want to leave her feet. So while the match was better than I thought it would be, I hated the ending because it underlined everything I suspected, and that is that it had nothing to do with women's revolution or pushing women forward. It had to do with the WWE lining their own pockets and bringing in Ronda Rousey and getting the Japanese audience involved on a bigger scale for WrestleMania. And, Todd, that's just as simple as that.
You're absolutely right there about the Ronda Rousey, the Asuka thing. Well, I remember when Ronda Rousey came out last night, she didn't look too serious about this whole thing.
She was laughing. She was actually laughing at times and just sticking her hand out. She looked like a you know what it's like? Yeah, here's what it reminded me of. And again, I like Ronda Rousey. And I think in the long run, she'll make a good WWE superstar. But last night, it reminded me of an adult in a kid's play, where the kids are all, you know, they've had their lines for a long time, and the kids have practiced, and they say to an adult, can you just walk out there and say, oh, hello, children, which way to the magical forest? And then you say, thank you, and wave, and they do it, and it's so bad. And you're like, oh, my God, that adult just made a real fool of themselves because, you know, they're not an actor, and they just, and the kids are even better than them. Well, that's kind of what Ronda Rousey was. She's just like, goofy smile, point to the WrestleMania sign. Goofy smile, point to the WrestleMania sign. Hold out your hand, walk over to Stephanie, hold out your hand. Why are you walking over to Stephanie holding out your hand? Why are you even there? And why in the world would you point to a WrestleMania sign when you've not earned anything? You know, here's the women's revolution. Why don't you go ask Alicia Fox if she's going to be in WrestleMania? Dana Brooke if she's got a match for WrestleMania. Why don't you go ask Lana, who's at least trying? She's going to have a match for WrestleMania. But Ronda Rousey sure as hell is. Because we take our women wrestling seriously. And the ones who have trained and trained and practiced and trained and practiced and trained can sit on the sidelines and watch Ronda come in from UFC and take your spot. I don't know, Sabretooth. That's the way I see it. I know it's controversial, but that's how I see it.
I feel the same way, man. And I'm watching, like the reaction videos on YouTube, man. And it's full of these MMA freak fans on there, just praising how much she's going to bring credibility to this. I mean, it's like when I'm seeing this, man. I realize how much MMA fans they really hate professional wrestling, man. They're talking about she's going to get real now. No more fake shit. Ronda's here. I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here, man. I'm just disgusted, man. And you're right about Paige, man. I mean, think of at least had Paige come down there with Absolution, the two girls that came to the main roster upon her return with her. She could at least like came down and cheered those girls on, man. They couldn't even do that with her. I mean,
Let me tell you something, Sabretooth. If I'm in the WWE and I'm in the booking committee and they say Paige can't be in this rumble and I know how much Paige has contributed to this women's revolution, I'm saying, look, she has to come down. She has to have a moment. Can we get a moment where she pulls a girl out and the referee don't see it? I mean, can she do that? She's not crippled. Can she just pull a girl's arm and the girl falls out? Can she do that so Paige has a moment? Because isn't this about the women who have struggled to be here? And didn't she make the ultimate sacrifice in putting her body on the line and now she can't do
it
anymore?
Exactly. You think, and you think like that alone would be the reason that alone should be the reason after why she should be seen. I don't know if they still have a grudge against her for the whole phone texting fiasco or what, but man, that was one of the many things that just pissed me off about this rumble, from the whole Ronda Rousey, and like you said, what are the headlines today concerning that Women's Royal Rumble? What are they talking about?
Yep.
Ronda Rousey, not the winner. They're not talking about Asuka. They're not talking about how it's the first Women's Royal Rumble. The headlines is that Ronda Rousey has a WWE contract. That's the headline.
And do you think that Triple H and company think that's a surprise? Do you think Triple H and company are like, wow, Ronda Rousey's making most of the headlines? I didn't see that coming. Oh, please. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. That had nothing to do with furthering women's wrestling. You bunch of liars. Holy crap. This is what they think of the fans, though. And then all the fans are on YouTube, like you said, clapping and cheering. Oh, whoa, this was such a wonderful moment for women. Yeah, and then the WWE's laughing at you, saying, "You fucking idiots." Not me. I know exactly what you're up to. I know exactly what you're up to. And I don't like it. So, no, I didn't like the Women's Royal Rumble, especially the end. By the way, will Asuka sell anything from anyone at any time, ever? Or is it just I go down, but then I get right back up like I am Wonder Woman? Because I'm getting annoyed with it, quite frankly. And I'm also getting annoyed with all the people saying, isn't she the greatest wrestler? No, she's not. She was not even the greatest wrestler in that Royal Rumble. You know the tragic thing? You want real controversy? Here's some controversy. With all of these women in the ring, and some of them are very good, I love Bayley. I love Natalya. Love Sasha Banks. Becky Lynch, a lot of them. Lita and Trish Stratus get in there, and I'm like, oh, hell. You know, they haven't been in the ring in a long time, and they're looking good. And I'm saying to myself, they're almost looking better than some of these girls that we're now saying are the top echelon of the WWE. What's up with that? The hell's up with that? I don't know if you saw that the same way, Mike, but I don't know, man. Trish Stratus looked good, and so did Lita, and yeah, I think they overshadowed some of those girls.
And look, frankly, so did Molly Holly, you know?
Yep.
I mean, Molly Holly looked really good. And look, and we talk about missed chances. If they're not paying attention to how the fans responded to Lana when she came out to the ring when her number was pulled.
Yep. Yeah, she got a huge Rusev Day reaction. Was unbelievable. The whole build all night, Rusev got the best reaction of anybody. But I think Sabretooth hit it on the head. Can you imagine if the last two people in that ring, maybe three, were Trish Stratus, Bayley, and Sasha Banks? And before they even went at each other, there was that moment where all three just kind of circle each other, and then there's that timeout, and they all give a big group hug. We're here. We got here. And then they tear at each other. And whoever's left, and I would have had it been Bayley and Trish Stratus, that would have been awesome. And then if you had that moment where Bayley wins that thing, you know Bayley's going to be in tears. Trish Stratus gets in the ring, passes that torch, gives her a hug, raises her hand, and then Ronda Rousey comes out. You'd still be talking about Ronda Rousey today, but then there would be some more talk, I think, Sabretooth, about the passing of the torch and how, you know, there was that emotional moment. And I think that would have helped.
Right. And like I said, I mean, like that, I mean, like in that moment writes itself. I mean, you have the first women's Royal Rumble, and you've got legends as well as new era women in that ring. I mean, like the natural thing would be to have a passing of the torch moment.
I agree with you 100%. All right, well, let's get to the whole Rumble. I'm not going to go too much on the pre-show because, look, the pre-show is the pre-show. We had a decent cruiserweight match. There was no one in the audience. I felt heart sorry for them. They had just barely opened the doors, and people were filing in and finding their seats. It was okay. We then got to Bobby Roode and his challenge, and it turns out to be Mojo. I do want to mention something, though. I don't know if anybody caught this. On the pre-show, Charlotte Flair gave away that Nikki Bella was going to be in the damn thing. They asked her, who do you want to fight? You know, who would you like to fight? And she said, well, you know, Becky Lynch would be great because, you know, we came up together. Of course, Nikki Bella. I don't think you were supposed to reveal that Nikki Bella was in the goddamn thing. I think that was supposed to be a surprise. If it wasn't supposed to be a surprise, I know on our Facebook page, a guy's telling me, it's no big deal. They do that all the time. Everybody knew she was going to be in it. So big deal. Here's why it's a big deal. Was she on the poster? No. Was her Twitter account filled with, I'm coming to the Royal Rumble, so don't miss me? No. Did the WWE say, hey, guys, as a big bonus for the Women's Royal Rumble, the Bellas are coming back, so, you know, let's promote that? No. They didn't want it known. I don't know how obvious that has to be. when you're scratching your head saying it's no big deal, well, yeah, it is a big deal. It may be no big deal to you because you may be sitting there saying, I read all the blogs and I knew she was coming back. Fine. But not everybody read all the blogs. And they wanted that moment to be a moment. But it wasn't, because Charlotte Flair revealed it on the pre-show, Mike.
That's right. And here's another thing to think about. Did you catch, when she gets into the ring, did you catch the reaction from the fans when Nikki Bella gets into the ring?
Yeah, Cena sucks.
Cena sucks. I mean, it's like, okay, there you go. I mean, that's
no
how much they weren't expected. Right.
Yep, you're right, Mike.
Nothing.
Isn't that terrible? Instead, they just went right to John Cena. You're right. You're absolutely right. And then the yes chance for Brie, which is a tribute to her husband. Listen, these two girls are average wrestlers. They're really good-looking girls. Yes, they were a face of a division. Yes, they held championships and all that kind of stuff. But they weren't – they're not the pioneers of this nonsense, and they're not – the forebearers of the modern era. They were in there last because of who they're married to. By the way, did you catch that Maria McCool throws out seven people or however many because she's married to The Undertaker? Don't think that didn't I didn't catch that either. I don't recall Maria McCool being like a bad badass. Threw out all kinds of people because of who she's married to. So here we go again. Anyway, Bobby Roode takes on Mojo, which it is what it is, whatever. I don't – listen, again, controversy, but I don't like Bobby Roode. I think he's a boring champion. Simple as that. The thing that really throws me, I suppose, is that they started this pay-per-view off with AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That really threw me off. Never in a million years did I think that would happen. And I said to myself, well, maybe they're doing this because they want this out of the way. They want whatever controversy is going to happen out of the way. But completely, in my opinion, of the men's Royal Rumble. As soon as AJ Styles won, I said, okay, Nakamura's winning the Rumble. I could shut this off. So I really was surprised they tipped their hand that quickly. Was it a good match? No. And there's a surprise. Because AJ Styles matches are usually really good matches. This was not a good match. It wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't a good match. You could tell that Kevin Owens is working on injury. And Sami Zayn himself wasn't holding the ship. And the big controversy, what did it end up being? That Kevin Owens wasn't the legal guy in the ring. Well, then why are you in the ring giving the guy a pop-up powerbomb or trying to? If you're not the legal guy in the ring, why are you trying to pop-up powerbomb the guy? Then you should just instantly be disqualified. So either way, you're losing. So it's not even controversy to say, I wasn't the legal guy in the ring. I wasn't the guy that was pinned. You weren't in there trying to get out of the ring. You're in there trying to give your finishing maneuver to a guy when you shouldn't have been in there at all. So no controversy there. But it's something to hang their hat on, I suppose. Mike, it was not a good match, in my opinion. It was just a fair match.
And it was just a fair match. And, you know, it would have been – the whole thing would have been better if they would have done the whole other thing with the, you know, with the, you know, with the refereeing and this and that and out of the other. And, but, yeah, it wasn't a good match, you know. And like I said, it's sad to say because I would say 90%, maybe a little bit more, of AJ Styles' matches are good matches.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, you're absolutely right. I was surprised, Sabretooth, that it kind of dragged and it just didn't have a lot of story behind it.
Yeah, true. I mean, like, I've seen better matches from all three of those guys. And and also, it did nothing to push that storyline, push the Daniel Bryan story. You know, it did nothing to push that storyline, really, you know?
Nope.
I mean, that's what people were looking
for. Treadmill. It was no big deal at all. It was just like, okay, here's a match. And by the way, did you notice like all the SmackDown stuff got taken care of first? Like, oh, you guys don't count.
Yeah, I noticed that too last night. like with Owens there, and it was not a good. It was not a great match. It was not a bad match. It was just like in between. It's
a Raw quality match. It's a Raw quality match or a SmackDown quality match, I should say. It's a SmackDown quality match. That's what it was. Anyway, we get the Usos. They come out to challenge Gable and Benjamin. And once again, this is not an Uso quality match. It just isn't. It was okay. Had its moments. There were some good moments. Two straight falls. So that's what they think of Gable and Benjamin. That's done. They're trying to make the Usos world beaters because they're going to go up against the Bludgeon Brothers. There's no question about it. But again, you know, high expectations coming into this match. Sabretooth, Usos, 2 out of 3 falls. I'm thinking, man, this is going to be, you know, we're going to see tag team par excellence. And really, again, a SmackDown quality match.
Yeah, my jaw dropped when they just swept the 2 out of 3. Because I'm thinking, like, okay, they won the first one. So now we get a chance to see, you know, Gable and Benjamin. So, you know, they would have, now it's their time to step up, and they're going to win it. And it's going to be like, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, it's going to come down to a tiebreaker. They didn't do that. I mean, I'm like, shit, man, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
Like you said.
I was very surprised. That kind of writes them off, I think. I should also mention that on the pre-show, the club actually lost to the Revival, so they tried to rebuild up the Revival, which I guess is a good thing. It's not a good thing if you're the Balor Club, because that sets Anderson and Gallows back a little bit, but it is what it is. What's your thoughts on the Uso match, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's not up to the quality. I mean, nothing can be up to the quality of matches they had with the New Day. I mean, but this match could have been, this series could have been better. I mean, we know how good a wrestler Gable and Jordan, not Jordan, Gable and Shelton Benjamin are. I mean, they could have made it look better. They could have made it look more competitive. I mean, yeah, you want the Usos to win, but it could have been a more competitive match.
And there could have been a much better story told. Really, the story told is just that we're just better than you in all forms, and that's it. And I mean, I don't know. Todd, what do you think of the match?
It was okay, but it wasn't like the Usos and the New Day matches, technically. And I just don't care for the combination with Gable and Benjamin there. There's no chemistry.
Were you surprised that it was 2 straight falls? Because I was.
I was totally shocked with 2 straight falls.
Me too. I mean, it's almost like somebody did something, you know, bad backstage, and they're like, okay. And it was the Usos who I thought might get punished, and I was like, wow, I'm shocked. All right, anyway, this, you know what, let's jump, because I want to save the Men's Royal Rumble for last. Let's jump to the club versus Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan, which was exactly the way I said it was going to be. Jason Jordan's going to get injured early. He's going to do exactly nothing. Seth Rollins is going to fight the valiant fight. He's going to end up losing. He's going to initially blame Jordan, but I'll bet you the bottom dollar tonight, Seth Rollins is going to come into that backstage area and say to Jordan, I was mad last night. I didn't realize how injured you were. I'm sorry. Look, you were injured. It's not your fault. You know, and Jordan's going to say, you're damn right. It's not my fault. I didn't get pinned. You're the one who got pinned. Why would it be my fault? This is where they're going with this Sabretooth. And again, this, you know, they made as good a match as they possibly could out of it, but the one thing that I didn't like is, and I think Corey Graves probably put his foot in his mouth with this. At one point in this match, he said, this is exactly like AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Yeah, except AJ Styles won. I don't know, man. It was an okay match, but very predictable.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, it's really a 2-on-1 match, because that's all it was. I mean, it was Seth Rollins against the Bar, basically. That's what it was. You know, I mean, Corey Graves was right. But yeah, I just kind of missed that they went that route, though. I wanted to see that dynamic between those two guys play out a little bit more before they dropped those belts. But
I hope it does a little bit more, but I have my doubts, Mike. I think it's probably going to come to a head tonight.
I would hope that it doesn't, but I suspect you're right on that. And the fact of the matter is they could play it off the other way. They could play it off, well, I was injured, and you understand that, and yeah, okay, they could do that, but they're not going to do that. And I'm really starting to believe that this injury to Jordan kind of threw them for a loop. You know?
Yeah. I think it did too, and KO. Here's what we got to understand. Kevin Owens working injured. So we can say all we want, it wasn't a great match. Well, he is working injured. Jason Jordan, working injured. Barely working, really not working. Sheamus, working in pain. Wouldn't know it. By the way, on the pre-show, they also, I guess maybe Sheamus don't care, but on the pre-show, Renee Young says happy birthday to Sheamus, who's 40. I don't know if Sheamus wanted that leaked out, but okay. The pre-show is a mess. The one good thing about the pre-show, other than, of course, Charlotte Flair revealing Nikki Bella's entrance before they wanted it, and then the announcers say, it's Nikki Bella! Oh, my God! Well, yeah, oh, my God. Charlotte had said so in the pre-show, so. The one good thing is that we are now learning that Booker T has been removed from his duties. Him and Corey Graves almost honestly got into it. And I am no longer thinking that that's rigged. I think that this was probably the straw that broke the camel's back to a certain extent. They already had Coachman ready to go. But they knew what was happening. I mean, Booker T snapped at Corey Graves. Corey Graves snapped back at him. And they seem serious. Booker T's just been a nightmare. Coachman will be much better. So good for that. Let's get to the Royal Rumble itself. As soon as Rusev hit number one, I said to myself, they screwed him. They screwed Rusev. This place went nuts with Rusev Day chants. I don't know what you're doing, WWE, if you're not listening to this. The WWE Universe is giving you a clear message. We want Rusev, we want Aiden English, and we want Lana. All in the same faction as a Rusev Day faction. We want skits to be shot with them. We want them to be a successful tag team. Maybe we want down the line a feud between Rusev and Aiden English or whatever we're going to have. We want storylines written around these three people. And the WWE is saying, F you. Essentially, that's what they're saying. Finn Balor's number two. And I'm not going to lie to you. The minute he came out, I said he's going to last till the end. They're going to throw him that bone. He's not getting thrown out by anybody. He's going to be that extraordinary man who can do extraordinary things and last in. Because, of course, nobody can throw him out. So that's what we get. The Rumble was very average. And then Corbin comes out. And the most unbelievable thing, he just gets thrown out right away. Corbin is. Whatever. Corbin's been the biggest disappointment this year and last year. Gets thrown out right away, and then he takes everybody out. Even poor Heath Slater, which was kind of a funny thing that everybody that came down picked on Heath Slater, but it was kind of funny. Everybody gets taken out so they can rest. And for the next, I don't know, 10, 12 minutes? Finn Balor, the extraordinary man who can do extraordinary things, except he can't get up off the mat after somebody threw him out of the ring, and Rusev lay on the mat. The Royal Rumble rules have to change. You should have to count to 10 to get back in the ring. Because if you don't, then I don't know why anyone gets in the ring. Have your number called, go take a chair, sit in the front row, and wait till you're the last guy. If there's no rules that says you can't do that, then I have no idea why anyone would get in the ring. It doesn't make any sense. You have to have to the count of 10 to get in the ring. You can't just have people lay outside the ring for seven different people coming and going. Because then they're not participating. You can't throw somebody out or ain't in it. Like Jerry Lawler was saying, just hide under the ring. Just hide. Why would you even go in? Why would you even fight? And Corey Graves kept making a great point all through the women's match, Royal Rumble, and all through this Royal Rumble, which aggravated Stephanie McMahon when he said, I don't know why anybody saves anybody from being thrown out. That doesn't make any sense. It's everyone for themselves. If somebody's being thrown out, help them throw them out. It's one less person. They always do that. You got to, someone's got to calm down on this Royal Rumble thing and say, look, number one, you can't be outside the ring for 12 minutes. You just can't. Because if those are the rules, there's no reason for that person to ever step foot in the ring until the end. Number two, don't save people who's being thrown out unless it's your best friend. I mean, literally, if there's a gimmick where like the Hardy Boys and Jeff saves Matt, okay. But other than that, do not save somebody. It doesn't make any sense. And it just makes you look like a moron. So that's the first thing I noticed, Sabretooth, is you can't have these guys outside the ring for this long.
Right. And also, remember, like, the Miz tried that in a prior Royal Rumble. The Miz put that to the test, too. You know, he tried it before. So, but you're right about the whole not saving people, man. Because, like, I mean, for example, if you was in the ring with 30 other guys in a battle royal and the winner won like $2 million, are you going to be saving people who are getting thrown out of that ring? Hell no. Exactly. You know, so.
First person I see teetering, I'm going to help the other person throw them out. That's the whole point of the Royal Rumble. It doesn't. And, you know, I thought there was a great moment in the men's Royal Rumble where Roman Reigns throws out Seth Rollins and Rollins isn't even mad. Rollins just laughs like, well, that's them's the breaks, because that's the way it's supposed to be. But then they turn around when the women do it and say, oh, Sasha Banks threw out Bayley. That was all dirty. What do you mean that's a dirty? That's the way it goes. If Bayley ends up being mad over that, then it must be Bayley who's going to be turning heel, because that doesn't make any sense. Bayley should be like, yeah, I mean, I let my guard down. I'd have done the same thing, you know. So we'll see where that goes. Basically, no surprises in the Royal Rumble except Rey Mysterio. Mysterio, from what I hear, that's just a one shot. They hired him to do just the Rumble. I don't know if he's going to sign anything further. He looked good. It was good to see him. I knew he wasn't going to win, but here's a pet peeve of mine. And maybe it's only me. I absolutely hated seeing Almas in this match, just like I hated seeing Ember Moon in the women's match. Here's why. I thought the champions really aren't supposed to be in this match. You know what I mean? Like, the champions are supposed to be above it. Even if you're an NXT champion, even if you're a tag team champion. I didn't even like seeing Seth Rollins in it. You're champions. So, you know what I mean? So, why? Why would they be in it? You know they're not winning. So, now you're taking your champions, and you're initially just saying, all right, they're in the big leagues here. They've made the big leagues in the Royal Rumble, but they're getting their ass handed to them and thrown out. And it just weakens the whole persona. I watched Almas on Saturday night put on probably the match of the year. And this Almas that's in this ring wasn't even, no comparison. They made him look like a stiff. And for the people who don't know Almas, who doesn't watch NXT, they're like, oh, who's that guy? You kind of spoiled his debut. It's just like, that guy. He wasn't nothing special. Oh, Ember Moon, she didn't do much. What'd she do? You know, I just don't like it. I don't think there were other NXT men and women who you could have brought up that weren't the champions. That would have been kind of cool. The champion should sort of be above that. Champions out of it. Just leave them out of it. Did that strike you the same way, Mike? I just don't like to see the NXT champions in it.
Yeah, it really struck me the same way, you know, and that's, I mean, you could have absolutely had Johnny Gargano in it, though. You could have had, there are a lot of people you could have had. And look, we in both Rumbles, we got the Kofi Kingston moment in both Rumbles. You know, one was her, was Naomi walking the tightrope and getting on that chair and doing what she did to get back in the ring. And, of course, Kofi with the pancakes. And the two, now, that was a logical thing, what the two other guys did, helping him
right.
get back into the ring, the way he, you know, how he didn't have to touch, you know, with his foot now. And so that was a logical thing, and that was a fun thing, you know?
Yeah, and he did the great flip. It was, you know, Kofi's always good at that. The Naomi thing was pretty good, too, although it looked for a second like she did accidentally touch both feet, but it was okay. All that was good. The only thing I can say about this Royal Rumble, the men's Royal Rumble, that I think was extremely positive is when it came down to the last four or even six guys, I said to myself, these are the ones that everyone thinks are going to win. So at least you did that. At least you said, you know, the last four guys in this ring are the four guys that the fans are all divided over who could possibly win. The top four bet on people were John Cena, Roman Reigns, Nakamura, and Balor. And damn it if they weren't the last four guys in the ring. So that was good because at least it throws you off a little and you say, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will go John Cena and AJ Styles. Maybe they will go Finn Balor and AJ Styles. I knew Roman wasn't winning. But I thought, well, you know, it's possible. It's possible they might have the two leaders of the Balor Club go at it again. You know, that could be interesting. You could build a story behind that. John Cena and his possible 17th title thing. You could build a story behind that. But I stuck with Nakamura, and Nakamura wins. The crowd liked it, Sabretooth, so I assume they're happy with it.
Yeah, I'm happy with it, too, you know, since AJ, you know, he kept the title. And also about the Men's Royal Rumble, I guess they finally got the memo that it wasn't as big of a joke as it's been in previous years. You didn't have, like, all these old-ass legends coming out, or celebrities
right.
coming out. You know, so that's another positive. It wasn't a joke much. I mean, you had Rey Mysterio. I mean, he's a legitimate, you know, worker. I mean, yeah. I mean, so I had a problem with that. And also the Hurricane. I mean, I really wasn't too. I was also cool with that somewhat. You know.
Yeah, so I mean, the fans gave him a nice pop. It was good to see the Hurricane. I did think we were going to get a few more surprises though. Now, another thing that bothered me, and I'm sure it bothered you too, Todd, is Dolph Ziggler because. If this is not the moment, unless he's winning the whole goddamn thing, it's not the moment because Ziggler relinquishes his title, walks the hell out of the company. Everyone says, we don't know what's happening. We have no idea. I guess he's gone. I guess, you know, well, he couldn't be too gone if he signed the contract to be in the Royal Rumble. So I didn't like that moment. I thought it wasted the whole Dolph Ziggler storyline to a degree.
You're absolutely right there. It did ruin Dolph Ziggler's storyline thing. I would have him be in there longer than I expected him to be in it longer than that.
I wouldn't even have him in it unless he was winning it, Mike, because now it's just like, okay, big deal, Dolph Ziggler's back. There's no payoff to this storyline now.
Yeah, there is no payoff to the storyline, and especially if you're not going to find a way to stick that U.S. championship back around his waist. And that's the point. Now, I'll just go back one last thing about the Women's Royal Rumble. That didn't make sense to me. And, of course, they wanted both Japanese wrestlers to look good. Kairi Sane looked extremely good, but she was flying all over the ring off the top rope when it would have been easy as she's getting up on the top rope for them to knock her off the top rope.
Mike, the problem with the Royal Rumble is it's not even logical anymore. I've seen so many men pick a guy, scoop a guy up. They got him on his shoulders, and instead of just throwing him out of the ring, they slam him on the mat. Well, you got him on your shoulders. Throw him out of the ring. You got him up in the air. You're going to suplex him. Just throw him out of the ring. So that doesn't make any sense. That's never made any sense. And we've seen that in almost every single Royal Rumble. Again, the Royal Rumble, everybody has to come together and say, look, there's some logic problems. We're gonna solve these. Don't save somebody unless we specifically tell you, you must save this person because we're doing something down the line with that. Don't save anybody. That's number one. Number two, don't pick anybody up. If you can get them up in the air and they're helpless, you would throw them out, wouldn't you? So don't be an idiot. Don't pick them up. Number three, you can't lay on the outside of the ring for 8 minutes, because if anybody would do that, then you just pull up a chair and watch the Royal Rumble like a fan until there's one guy left, wouldn't you? Let that guy be exhausted, and then you get in fresh. It makes no sense, so you have to stop that too. Those three things got to go with the Royal Rumble, because it's foolish. And it makes the whole thing look kind of foolish. Now, I'll tell you, Kairi Sane's better than Asuka, and she'd get over a lot better than Asuka. Kairi Sane has this quiet sort of charisma to her that I think the fans would take to her a lot more than they're taking to Asuka. Asuka does not understand the American culture, and a lot of the things she does smacks of a heel. She even made fun of Ember Moon having her arm hurt. And we know Ember Moon's getting a big, giant pop coming out as the champion. And Sabretooth, what the hell is Asuka doing? She's making fun of her being injured? I mean, how's fans supposed to take to her?
Exactly. And it's like she's doing heel stuff, like with the whole Nia Jax situation, where she hurt, she hurt Nia and was actually some, you know, I mean, like I said, I don't know if WWE is trying to flip her, or they think that people like her so much that she can do these things and people are still going to take to her. No, it's not working. And like I said, and with her winning and going back to when she won, Bayley should have won that, because you could have got a lot more traction and storyline out of Bayley having Ronda Rousey come in there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would have been,
yes,
like, what are their plans for Asuka coming up? I mean, what? I mean, how would Ronda Rousey put a sick Asuka? No, Bayley would have been the perfect foil for that, because you got this MMA fighter coming up to you, the nice little Bayley, after winning having your moment, here comes Ronda Rousey of all people coming to stare you down. You know, that would have been so compelling, you know?
It would have been. I guess they want Ronda to look like the big good guy. So I don't even know if she's confronting Asuka, because every source that I have for my information says she is not going to WrestleMania to fight either champion. She's going to WrestleMania in a tag team match. And it's a tag team match not against other women. It's a tag team match against Stephanie and Triple H. That's what everybody's saying. That's what they're going with now. So I don't know why she's pointing to WrestleMania. So how would she know? That's the thing. How would she know? If it turns out that it is Triple H and Stephanie against Ronda Rousey and a partner, my question is, how did she know at the Royal Rumble? I'm pointing at the WrestleMania sign. I'm going to be there, but the match isn't made yet. That's a surprise. Well, that's stupid. That's just stupid. Anyway, let's get to the triple threat match. And once again, I guess maybe because his contract's coming up or whatever, but once again, I think Brock Lesnar tried hard. You know, once in a while, you'll see Brock Lesnar really, like, try. And you say, wow, you know, if he really puts his mind to it, and he really, really, you know, bears down, he's a good wrestler. He can get this done. He just doesn't do it that much. Last night, he did it again. He did a great job of selling Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman came out of this match not injured in the least. If anything, elevated. If anything, elevated. Now, we all knew Kane was taking the pin. We all knew it. There was no surprise there. The surprise, if anything, was how much Braun Strowman dominated Brock Lesnar, even to the point where Brock Lesnar finally gets the upper hand on Strowman and dumps the entire table down on him, causing Corey Graves to say, well, he's killed him. And Strowman just throws the table off, stands up, and Lesnar just is in shock, staring at him in dead shock. Lesnar did his job last night. You can't argue with the job Brock Lesnar did last night. And I hate to say it, but I think this was the best match of the night. I really do. It was very predictable, and everyone knew Kane was taking the pin. But there were moments of storytelling in this match that I said, this is working. This is Brock Lesnar, who you say, man, he's just a never-give-up guy. He absorbed a lot of punishment, but he keeps coming. But then the other story is, you just can't polish off Braun Strowman. It's impossible. The more you do, he just keeps getting right back up. So like the old Undertaker, where you just say, well, you got to sell him. You got to sell him like, well, I don't know. Well, I don't know what it's going to take. And that's exactly what Braun Strowman did last night, Sabretooth, and I thought he did an excellent job.
I'm not surprised, man. I mean, the man survived the garbage truck. So, you know, we can't. I mean, the man can lift up tractor trailers. We know what I'm saying. So yeah, but no, it was a good. I mean, it was a good match, man. But the thing is, though, is that where does Braun Strowman go from here, though? I mean, where does he go? I mean, have they built? I mean, like you said, I mean, have they built him up to be this unstoppable monster? Then what's next for him? If not Brock Lesnar, then who else?
My prediction is that he's going to go into that elimination chamber and say, you never pinned me. Everyone on that pay-per-view knows I was dominating you. I was beating your ass. And I'm going to get in that elimination chamber, and I'm going to beat everybody else, and I'm going to WrestleMania to do it to you again. Of course, we know that's not going to happen, and Roman Reigns is somehow going to find that way to beat Braun Strowman. What's next for Braun Strowman as far as WrestleMania? I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is Strowman came out of here looking better than he did when he went in, and Brock Lesnar may have won, but in doing so, he elevated Braun Strowman highly by acting as though even he could not handle Braun Strowman, and even he was surprised about how much punishment the man could take.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. But, I mean, we've seen this is one of these matches that if you're looking at re-signing Braun Strowman on maybe one or two matches, it's this one and it's the one against AJ, you know. But other than that, you know, he cried about facing gender and got out of that match, you know. I guess when you have that type of power, you can do that, you know. But, I mean, we know for one thing, we know that, and I don't know how they're feeling on him as of right now, but we know that his contract is coming up after WrestleMania, and we probably also know that he's not winning that WrestleMania match.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
so.
No, he's not. It looks like he's trying to go back to MMA. My only point is that Brock Lesnar, for the last two pay-per-views, has tried, and he's come up with good matches. I can't even argue it. Taken a lot of punishment. He's went more than 5 or 6 minutes. He's made some other people look good. He's acted like a professional wrestler instead of just acting like a guy who says, I'll come in for the money and make your guys look like idiots, but that's all I'm going to do, which is what he used to do. So I'm a little higher on Lesnar's credibility than I was. Thought it was a good match, Todd, but again, I mean, we know who's going to win it, and we know who was going to lose it.
When Brock Lesnar wrestled last night, it reminds me of the Brock Lesnar back in 2002 or 2003 when he first came in, when he was actually wrestling and taking bumps and everything and taking punishment from his opponents.
Yep. You know what's good about Brock Lesnar that I've noticed, Sabretooth, is while he doesn't have great facial expressions, really, his natural pigmentation is he gets all like red and sweaty and puffy, and he looks like he's dying. And when he's in there for more than like a few minutes, he looks like he'd been beat up. Lesnar always looks like he's really been in a fight.
Right. Yes, he does. Yeah. Yeah. He really. Yeah. Like you said. Yeah. Like you said. He turns red, and he really looks like that he's really putting. You know, like he's really going through it. Yeah. So that's a good thing about him. But I just don't. I don't know, man. I mean, like to me, he's a mixed bag, though, man. I mean, he should be. I mean, I just be glad when they get that belt from around his waist, though, man. Because I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, because a champ has to be there on Raw every week with a belt. He's not there, man. If he was there every week, I'd be fine, you know. But he's not. I mean, a champion shouldn't be there. A champion should be there every week.
I agree with that. I just think that his last few performances have been better than anything he's done in the last year. So I'll give him credit where credit is due. I still think you're right. A champion needs to be there all the time. Now, a few little moments that I caught from the Royal Rumble that I really either – wanted to mention or thought was horrible. Let's start with thought was horrible. First off, Matt Hardy got very little reaction. There were delete chants, but no big pop. That character has been ruined. the WWE go into this tremendous thing saying, Matt, go ahead and do your legal work and, bust your ass trying to get your gimmick, and then you don't even use it properly. And Bray Wyatt, who it's no secret to anyone who listens to this show, I'm a big fan of. But I'm not such a fan that I'm not going to criticize someone. Bray Wyatt's mailing it in. And he better stop, because if he continues to mail it in, he ain't going to be around at the end of 2018. Because fans are losing favor with him rapidly. Because he doesn't do anything. And when he doesn't even do it well. Those guys were supposed to eliminate each other last night, and they couldn't have made it any more obvious than if they held the rope down and said, you first, no after you, no after you. It didn't look like they both eliminated each other and fell out. It looked like, okay, this is the point where we have to go to the ropes and toss ourselves over. It was a disaster for two guys who've been in the business that long. If you cannot make that look like you legitimately knocked each other out of the ring, give up. Just give up. Don't mail it in. Don't become that guy that mails it in, because I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get away with it. Neither one of you guys are going to get away with it. Neither one of you guys are Randy Orton. Randy Orton can mail it in. Mailed it in again last night. Doesn't matter. He's Randy Orton. You're not. I don't even know what possibly could be next for Bray Wyatt. I shudder to think. For a moment there, I thought, well, maybe they'll try tag teaming them. Maybe it'll be Bray Wyatt and Broken Matt Hardy, and that'll be a weird tag team, and that could work. Could help each other out a little bit, but no, that doesn't look like it's going to be the case either. They just don't have any idea what to do with Bray Wyatt, and I think Bray Wyatt has grown frustrated. I think he's gotten to the point where he's like, whatever. Nothing's going to come of this. This character's dead in the water. I'll say my lines. I'll come out with my lantern. I'll do what you want me to do, but you and I both know this is dead in the water, and that's the feel I get from him, Mike, and it's a shame.
And it can't be helping that he's saying his three other guys being used and being successful, you know.
I know.
You know, we know where they're going. We know what they're going with Braun Strowman, and we know where they're going with the Bludgeon Brothers. You know.
Yep.
I mean, it can't. I mean, what about me? He's got to be feeling, well, those three guys are doing good. What about me? What are you doing? What are you going to do? And it's not his fault that he's decided to mail it in. It's their fault.
I mean, I don't know where this is going to go. All I know is that the Bray Wyatt character is starting to lose momentum and interest, even in the most ardent fans. I'm one of the biggest fans, and even I'm starting to lose a little bit of interest in it, Sabretooth, because it's going nowhere.
Well, I mean, I don't see why writing can get it through their head. If they see this character as floundering and is on the verge of just not being nobody, go back to what made him lovable. Go back to what made him popular in the first place. Give him a new family. Either bring his original ones back or give him a new family. Put him with, bring like a couple of guys in who look crazy. Give him a new family. Take him back to what he was. Go back to the character he was that everybody loved about him. This vicious Charles Manson, this cult leader, PG crap be damned. I mean, people love that character. Bring it back.
I agree, because right now it's watered down to the point where it's just silly. It's just silly. And if you had seen, as I did, his match at the 205 Live tour, a special bonus match of not 205 Live guys, him and Matt Hardy. Bray Wyatt didn't even stay in character, really. He joked around with the audience. He did these things where he pretended to be sleeping on the ropes and got fans to try to cheer for him like he was turning face. And he just wasn't being Bray Wyatt. And right then I turned to the guys in my party and I said, he don't care anymore. He's not even trying to hide. You know, behind the character now. He's just like, whatever. It doesn't matter. And that's a shame. But speaking of beloved, let's talk about who got the biggest pops of the night. The roof blew off the building in Philadelphia for Rusev. to the point where I think even Rusev was surprised. I mean, Rusev came out there, and I thought it was Hulk. I was looking behind him. I thought Hulk Hogan showed up. Like, holy mackerel. The roof is blowing off this damn building. I forget who threw Rusev out, but they got booed. And I think it was a good guy, and they got booed. Fans were chanting bullshit when Rusev got thrown out. I tell you the truth. If you had Rusev win this Royal Rumble, the fans would have been like, this is awesome. Which is really, really strange, because I got to tell you that this is a guy who got over all by himself. There was nothing written that got Rusev over. There was no, you do this, you go beat up the biggest bad guy, or the biggest bad guy beats you up, or somebody does something horrible to your wife and you come to her rescue. No, they didn't write anything for this guy other than a gimmick where he's supposed to be given a badge of honor from the mayor of some town in Bulgaria, and they come up with this Rusev Day thing, and the next thing you know, Rusev's own natural charisma. I don't think the WWE counted on him being able to be funny and likable. But he's become extraordinarily likable and extraordinarily funny, and it's happened kind of organically, and the fans want this. And the WWE don't want this. They do not want this. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Rusev got over as a heel better than anybody in the last 3 years, 4 years. Rusev got over as such a heel, fans were cheering John Cena when they first fought. And now he's getting over as your top face. What is it that you don't see in this guy? A, he's an extraordinarily good wrestler. B, he's a very, very good promo. C, apparently he can play a face or a heel, whichever one you want. So again, what is it that you don't see? What's the problem? What do you want him to do? You can see that that's what the fans want. They did it when Lana came in. You're not hiding the fact that Lana's married to him. You're not hiding it. It's on Total Divas. You're not hiding it. The fans want it. Put them together. They even cheered Rusev Day when Aiden English came out. And they're starting to cheer him now. Even he's getting the rub. This could be a very likable trio. And then I would presume you'd turn Aiden English on the group and there would be a problem. But for a good solid year, you could run with this, and you don't want to do it. And then we'll talk about the second guy who got the second biggest pop, and that was The Miz. And that is the fans saying to The Miz, we appreciate you being the top, one of the top heels in this whole entire federation, because you're the only one that's doing it right. That's not because they think The Miz is the greatest wrestler in the world. It's not because they like The Miz's movies. That's the fans saying to The Miz, this is the type of wrestler we like to be the heel. He does it well. And again, I hope the fans, I hope the WWE is listening, but Mike, I don't know if they are or not, because it doesn't appear so.
You know, as evidence, a couple things, as evidence by what happened when he got attacked by Ray Jr. there. I mean, they absolutely went nuts for Ray Jr. because he was doing things to The Miz. And secondly, did you catch not only their reaction when it went to Lana, but Lana turns around and acknowledges it. That's not a heel thing. They want her to be a heel. That's not a heel thing.
No, and even the girls that were beating her up were saying, it's Rusev Day, huh? How about this? How about that? So they're even acknowledging it. You can't hide this. If I'm the WWE right now, I say, all right, look, the Tamina thing didn't work. Can we get somebody, do we have a faction, anybody? And I tell you what faction it would be. It would be Jinder Mahal. Can we get Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers to somehow pick on Lana? Can we get a match somehow where Jinder and is out there and the girls are supposed to fight or something, and he ends up doing something to Lana or bullying her a little bit, and out comes Rusev? Can we do this? Because quite obviously the fans want this. And we're going to have to do something to make Rusev even more cheerable than he already is. And the best thing I can think of is that Lana is in trouble and he comes to her rescue and they kind of just get back together as a whole group and we forget the Tamina Snuka thing, Sabretooth. I would think that would be the best option.
Well, I think WWE have to come to terms that the days of the Bulgarian brute are over with. We now have the Bulgarian teddy bear. I mean, the guy, like you said, people love this guy. I mean, like you said, I mean, like, he's charismatic, and I don't think that they planned that to happen. But I mean, would that come to terms that it has happened?
Let me run this by you, and I don't want to sound sexist, but if you're the WWE and you know that Lana is married to Rusev, wouldn't you say to yourself, he must have a hell of a good personality? Because, you know, look who he's landed, and he's not exactly Robert Redford, so he must be a really charming, kind of a sweet guy, because he's
right.
Lana, but you know what I mean? Something's up there.
And also, I think if our fans can relate to him also, because, I mean, not saying that he's ugly, but, I mean, like, look who he landed, though. I mean, how many guys would love to land, you know, to land a chick like a woman like Lana, you know?
That's what I mean. He didn't do it with his looks. So if I'm the WWE, you know, if I'm a talent scout and I say, that's your wife, then the first thing I say is, this guy must have a hell of a good personality and a really charming guy. He must be. Because
right.
he didn't land her on the looks. So you never tested that? And then when he comes out and you find out he just is accidentally sort of charming, he has this... I can't even describe the persona. He has this persona. When he was the bad guy, he had a persona that was like old school heel. But when he's a good guy, he has this persona like he's just this big guy you really don't want to piss off, but he's kind of harmless. You know what I mean?
Like George Gallimus Steel, like.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know why they can't see it. And I don't know what Rusev has done so horrible. I know he cut his hair and didn't tell him. And I know he got married and didn't tell him. And you're going to punish him forever on that, I guess. You couldn't stop me from pushing Rusev. You could not stop me. If this was my federation, I'd be like, well, listen, I'm not an idiot. I heard the reaction of those fans. And today... we're writing some shit for Tuesday, okay? These fans are going to – these fans want to cheer Rusev? You better stock up on the Rusev Day T-shirts, because when this episode of SmackDown is over, there ain't going to be anybody in the audience that don't have one. The way business is supposed to work, Mike.
I mean, we've said it before. The 12 Days of Rusev should have been something on YouTube, or you should have had – you speak English, get into a studio with Rusev there and have him do that song. You should have that. You should have those three people together. I mean, if you're getting that reaction, if you're getting the rub from one person on the two people, take note of that and use that.
Here's my idea. I've come up with it in 30 seconds. Maybe it sucks, but it's better than what the WWE is doing. What would happen if they said they're coming up on the first anniversary of Rusev being married or whatever, and you could lie, and they're going to have an in-the-ring ceremony. Rusev and Lana is going to renew their vows. And Dolph Ziggler comes out and says, do you really want me to tell him what happened between us all those years ago? Do you really want me to do that? And I think fans would be like, oh, shit. Because I could spoil these things. I could spoil this right now. And, you know, he'd be heading to divorce court. She could say it's an absolute lie. He's a damn liar. He's this, that, or the other thing. You got to get Aiden English over. So wouldn't it be great if Aiden English said, you know what, why don't you shut your mouth? Who do you think you are? And then, okay, well, then you got a big mouth. Fine, I'll fight you tonight. And Dolph Ziggler beats Aiden English. But can he beat Rusev? See, that's the way it should go. I think that would be a great plan for Dolph Ziggler, and it makes sense because it throws back Sabretooth to the time when Dolph Ziggler and Lana were supposed to be having this thing.
Right. And also, that whole gimmick is like an old-school gimmick. That's where you had... you know, couples like Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. You know, that's an old school gimmick, you know. And now you got someone coming out with supposedly some dirt. I mean, that's a great gimmick, and that's what's missing, because there are no couples as of now, I don't think there are any couples. I mean, like, she would have couples, but I mean, like, they're not, like, in any storyline, though. I mean, Jey Uso and Naomi are married, but they're not in, like, a storyline together. I mean, they need a couple.
Yeah, they
who better have to do that?
They got Marie, but she's pregnant. That's not going to happen. This is your couple. But, Sabretooth, this should come as no surprise. You were on this show 7 months ago, and we said this could be the next Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth couple, and they've ignored it.
Right. I mean, like I said, I mean, like, and it writes itself. I mean, like, you get, I mean, people are crazy about Rusev and Lana. I mean, it's not like you hate one and don't like, you hate one and love the other. Nuh-uh. You love all three of them. I mean, like you said, and even Aiden English is getting the rub. I mean, so you have three very likable characters, man. Why aren't they in the faction?
I wish I could answer that question. I wish I could answer it, but I cannot. I don't know. But you'd think it would be obvious. There's a million storylines that could write themselves around this, and ways to get Aiden English over as well. I mean, Aiden's probably the least over, so if he's the one who sticks up for them initially and says, I'll take care of Ziggler for you because I think he's a damn liar, that works. And it gets Dolph over as a heel who beat English, but, you know, he's going to have to be staring down the barrel of Rusev. There's a lot to it. It's just weird how the WWE just doesn't want to do these things, even when they hear the reaction. They're hoping those chants go away, and for the life of me, I don't know why. You'd think you'd be doing anything in your power to keep them alive. When everyone's chanting Austin 316, what'd they go do? Come on, guys. Anyway, let's rate the Royal Rumble, Mike. I'm going to start with you. A through F, what did you think of it? It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's a C show. And look, you know, I mean, you could have done the exact same thing with Big Cass and Carmella, or even right now, you still have if he's still there, the Enzo and Liv Morgan. You know, I mean,
right. Well, obviously Enzo's gone; he ain't coming back, but. Yeah, I mean, listen, we'll see what happens, but I don't see them pushing these guys. Todd, what do you think of the show?
I got to give it a C as well.
You're giving it a C as well? Sabretooth, what'd you think?
I'm going to give it 2 scores, man. I'm going to give it a C. I mean, like, for the I'm going to give the men's part, the matches, and the men's Royal Rumble. Yeah, I'm going to give it a C plus, but for the women's Royal Rumble on its own, a straight up, man, like you said, man. I mean, like, we got shitted on, like you said. I mean, it wasn't about the women's revolution. They showed what – they played their hand last night.
They did. They played their hand. And you know what disappoints me the most? They played their hand, and 90% of the people folded. They really thought it was legit. They really thought it was the real deal. They really thought this was a great moment in women's wrestling, and it's a shame. I'm going to give the whole thing a C. There were moments that were an A. I loved the Trish Stratus, Mickey James thing where they just looked at each other and the whole crowd went nuts. I'm like, that's just cool. I loved certain parts of this, but there were certain parts that were huge letdown too. And in reality, when you have both winners come from Japan and, you know, you've kind of dusted your female battle royal, as we've stated on this show, I just can't for the life of me understand why you would do that. I just can't. Anyway, Monday Night Raw tonight should be very interesting. We'll be back here at noon tomorrow with a complete rundown. See you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.